Okay, I'm all in.
This is the only poker show in St. Louis radio.
I want to hold them like they do in Texas, please.
With the only St. Louisan to make it to the final table of the World Series of Poker main event.
Shuffle up and deal.
This is the Lumiere Place Final Table with Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris on 590 The Fan, KFNS.
And I'm 100% certain we're the only radio show in America whose introduction includes Kenny Rogers and Lady Gaga.
This is true. That was a heck of a combination. Of course, you meet everybody at a poker table.
Yes, you do. You never know who's going to be there. Dennis and I are live tonight once again in the poker room of Lumiere Place Casino and Hotel in downtown St. Louis, and proud to have you along at the final table. Thanks to everybody who participated in our Poker Stars free roll last week.
That was just flat out awesome. We had no idea what to expect, whether there'd be a couple of three tables or what. We had 596 people sit down to play that tournament.
I said to Dennis in the days leading up to it, if we got between 100 and 200 people, I'd be thrilled, particularly because Poker Stars limited it to people in Missouri and Illinois.
Correct.
And then to end up with 596 people online was phenomenal.
It was unbelievable.
And a great bunch of people, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Everything positive. A lot of them that I'd played with before. I had everything. It's like half of the crowd that went to Las Vegas, I think, joined us online.
Yeah.
So it was fun.
Yeah. A lot of people there playing for the first time, including our winner, a guy from here in St. Louis by the name of Steve.
Yep.
Who wins the $1,000 first prize.
Yep.
In his first ever online tournament.
And I guess he's hooked. We'll find out shortly.
I hope he is. Also, congratulations. We don't actually know the real names of some of these people. We only know their screen names from their avatars on PokerStars.
Yep.
The guy who calls himself Fat Tony 007 came in second and won $500. A guy named Garage Brewer came in third and gets a weekend here at Lumiere Place, which I think includes two nights at Hotel Lumiere and dinner at Savoy, their terrific Italian restaurant. A guy in fourth place named Big Mac 4025 will get a chip set from Amini's Home Rugs and Game Room. And the rest of the final table is going to get an autographed Cardinals hat from you, right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm giving them to the entire final table.
Is that right?
Yep. Absolutely.
Just like the ones you wore at the final table
very,
in November.
Very, very similar.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The other thing I did is when we got down to the final table, I invited them all to come down here tonight, and we're going to have a meal over at the Sleek with a couple of people here from Lumiere, and hopefully you'll join us too.
Yep, I'll be here. Are you kidding? You're having a meal in a steakhouse, and I'm not going to show up? Put me down.
We're going to just relax and have some fun, and the guys that we were chatting back and forth, we get to put a face with a name.
Yes. And hello also to all the Railbirds who were observing the tournament and jumping in and adding comments to the chat, both at the tables that you were at and the tables that I were at. People who are listening to this show either live on KFNS or on KFNS.com or through the podcast that we have available every week on thechipleader.com, which is Dennis's website. Got a lot of people who are new to the show and a lot of international listeners through the podcast as well. So we appreciate all the support there. And the question I got asked more than any other last week was, when are you going to do it again?
Yep.
So, Dennis, when are we going to do it again?
We are going to do it again. I'm not for sure how quickly we can put it together with PokerStars, but we are definitely doing it again. Anybody has any suggestions, go online to thechipleader.com and send it to us. Give us a call here at the station if you want, whatever. Just get a hold of us any way you can if you have any way to improve it, any suggestions.
All right. We'll keep you posted. And, of course, details will always be on this podcast and this radio show and on thechipleader.com. Now, the other thing we got to mention is that Dennis was not playing poker, but was away on business this past weekend in Mexico.
Cancun. Gorgeous place down
what
there.
What a horrible place to have to go in the middle of the winter.
All it had the sun and the beach and a lot of college students and, you know, great food.
But again, just like I said, when you went to the Bahamas for the PCA, if I know you, you didn't touch the water, did you?
I never did. No.
Are you hydrophobic?
I came close to it this time.
You did?
Yeah. They had a little sort of a cocktail thing before supper out there by the beach on one of the decks. So I got that close.
Did you touch sand?
Let me think. Well, anyhow.
You know what? After a while, people are just going to start inviting you to inland resorts. You won't be able to go on these beach trips anymore.
This was fun because it was a different type of organization. Iron Mountain here in St. Louis was the one that's actually doing it. They get a mess of pro athletes for the most part. Maybe it's somebody that's just signed and has gotten a bonus that he doesn't for sure know how to handle. Or maybe it's somebody that's been playing for the last 3 or 4 years and is now going to be retired and suddenly has this huge salary he's been getting is going to be reduced down to almost nothing.
Yeah.
And they're advising him on, you know, how to handle it, what investments to do, what not to do, everything from taxes to whatever it takes on it. You know, basically a marketing company that helps develop the players too. So I got to be the shrimp down there. Let me tell you, I sat at a table with a group of basketball players and football players, and I needed to eat my Wheaties.
You were the human short stack.
There you go. Good way to put it.
And best of all, you didn't get kidnapped or murdered.
This is true. Actually, we had absolutely no problem at all. Didn't see any signs of it. The area down there for the resort was just fantastic. They took care of us great. It was an all-inclusive thing. So you wore your little band on your wrist, and all food and drinks and everything like that was free.
Because you and I played in the high-stakes game here at Lumiere last Tuesday, the night before you were leaving, and half the guys at the table were starting to tell horror stories about what they had heard on the news about traveling in Mexico. But you basically went to the resort and, you know, barely saw the outside, so you were safe.
Yeah, absolutely. They picked us up at the airport, took us straight to the resort. We were taken care of very, very well down there.
Good. Glad to hear it. Dennis has future travel plans, including a big poker tournament that he's leaving for tomorrow and another one next week, and we'll get into all that a little bit later. I do want to go back to the free roll for just a second because people are going to ask whether either you or I made the final table, and the answer is no.
No. But actually, we both went fairly deep into it. 600 people into it. I think you came in, what, 36?
I came in 36.
So you were in the top 5%.
Yeah. And you came in, what, 28th, 29th, somewhere
right,
in there?
Right.
So that was a lot of fun, and as I said, we'll have another one sometime soon. Coming up this evening on the show, a poker pro that Dennis knows fairly well because he's played with him a couple of times, named Victor Ramden. Victor only got into poker about 7 years ago, and 6 years ago finished in the money in his first World Series of Poker event, and then made the final table at the World Series of Poker horse event last year, cashed four times, and has won over $2.5 million in total live tournament winnings. Did you guys play against each other in the main event last year?
We did not, but we sat out basically across from each other table-wise, back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw Victor, talked to him briefly. He came in, I think, 64th out there. Did a great, had a great run on it.
That's a terrific run. Not as good as your run to third, but still a pretty good run out of 6,844 entries. So Victor Ramden coming up in a few minutes, and then later on, of course, a visit with Joe McGowan, who we should have started the show by congratulating him. Joe and his wife, Angelina, the proud parents of a brand-new baby boy.
New addition to the family, 7 pounds, 10 ounces.
When I say brand-new, I mean like 24 hours new.
Last night it happened, and Joe was texting the entire world.
And there's 2009 for you.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a Twitter account yet, but he was texting everybody about it last night.
And so did he give you a hint of his name?
Trace. Trace. There's a trace of Joe in the boy.
There you go. A lot of Angelina, but a little bit of Joe.
Yeah. So Trace McGowan, welcome to the world. And Papa Joe will be along with some poker tips for you later on in the show. Lots to do. We're glad you're along. We're live in the Lumiere Place Casino Poker Room. And this is a terrific place to come and play. I know that there's one blackjack dealer here who was made very happy by a high roller last week. I don't know who it was, but some whale came in and was playing in the high limit area here last week and won a lot. Just to give you an idea how much, the dealer was tipped, if my reports are correct, $105,000.
Holy, I have not heard that.
That was the tip. That's not what the guy won. That's what the tip was.
Do you have an employment sheet or anything?
Well, I think the blackjack dealers share. As opposed to the poker dealers here who keep their tips. So there are a lot of blackjack dealers here walking around with big smiles on their face.
Yeah, probably well earned. The dealers down here put up with a lot of things, guys. You really should be able to tip them. You should do it. They're, for the most part, a bunch of really, really good people.
Absolutely. And you don't have to be a high roller or a whale to come down here and play. You can play blackjack or any of the table games at pretty much any level. But if you are a blackjack player, come down to Lumiere on Wednesdays at 6 p.m., $30 entry fee gets you into their weekly blackjack tournament. Lasts about, an hour or so, and they've got up to $4,000 in cash that's up for grabs every week. You can start registering anytime in the week beforehand and then come down here Wednesday night at 6 and play in the weekly blackjack tournament. Just one of the many games you'll find on the floor of Lumiere. And if you're a poker player and you want to play in those tournaments, they've got them 7 days a week. They start at noon, 7 days a week. and at 6 o'clock Sunday through Thursday nights. And you can sign up any time during the day and play, just like in the tournament that is going on right behind us as we do the final table here tonight. We're live in the Lumiere Place Casino and Hotel Poker Room, and we're back with more right after this on 590 The Fan KFNS at KFNS.com.
Whether you play poker in a home game, a cash game in a casino, or online, this is the show for you. It's the Lumiere Place Final Table with Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris on 590 The Fan KFNS.
Dennis, we've been getting a lot of email in the inbox at DennisPhillipsPoker@gmail.com, which is your email address. And we've got a lot of people who are writing in with questions about hands that they've played. Did I do this right? Did I not do this right? Before we get to Victor Ramden in a few minutes, let's do one of those, okay?
Okay, well, I want to qualify it that if you ask 10 different people, they'll have 10 different opinions. I have absolutely no problem giving you what my opinion is. If you agree with it, great. If you don't, write in and tell us why.
Yeah, the correct answer to pretty much any poker question is, it depends.
There you go.
Norman writes to say, I'm third to act in a no-limit game with a pair of queens. There's a limper before me, so I raise it to 15, which is the standard raise in this game. A bunch of folds, and then some guy raises to 35, and it's him and me. I call the 35. The flop comes out, and it's rags, all small cards, and it's rainbow. My action first, I bet 30. He goes all in for his remaining $120, so it's $90 for me to call. Let me add that I had just sat down at the table about 10 hands before, and I saw this guy make a very stupid play and get wiped out, so he had just reloaded. I called, after thinking for a little while. Of course, he had bullets, and I lost. Here's my question, Dennis. Would you have called the first raise? Then would you have called the all-in bet? I know I had the third best hand, and it would have been tough to fold, but without Monday morning quarterbacking, now in retrospect, I think I should have folded. Frankly, with a pair of jacks, I probably would have folded before the flop. So I want your thoughts about playing a pair of queens in general, especially when the board comes out all low cards.
Remember the position you're in. You are not closing the betting on this thing. You have to be a little bit careful with it. His re-raise, you could have found out exactly then if he had the aces or kings. I doubt if I would have done that after hearing the play that he made earlier, the wild play. He could have gone all in with some idiot hand from the sound of it. You're new to the table. Anytime I'm new to the table, I try to play small ball. In that situation, and looking back at it, I might have actually limped with the queens in early position on it. Simply because you don't know the table, you don't know the reaction, you want to get a feel for them and all. The problem with limping is then you never know exactly where you're at. And this guy does make his bets on that.
And quite often when you limp with a big hand, you get a bunch of callers behind you. If nobody raises it, now you're in there with a big hand and you're up against four or five players, which is not what you want with queens or kings or even aces.
Yeah, absolutely on that. I'm assuming the $15 bet's probably a 3X raise on it.
I don't know if he was playing 2-5 or 1-3. I'm guessing since one guy only had $120 or $150 that it was probably a 1-3 game.
So if he made it 15, he's got a 5X raise on it, which is substantial.
And then the other guy makes it 35, which is almost a min raise.
Yeah. You'll find, especially in the smaller stake tables I see, a re-raise like this one was when the guy comes back on over him. A lot of times it is aces or kings on that thing. Again, a temptation with a 9s or a 10s or something, I have to lay it down. I would not have laid queens down there. I'm sorry, that's still one of the four premium hands. It's awful hard to lay that down pre-flop. After the flop, I might have checked it right there and let him do the betting. I think the mistake you made, if there was a mistake, there was after the flop, pushing it out there. Granted, they were rags, but, you know, you don't know where he was. He re-raised you already.
Is betting $30 into a pot where, well, they each put in 35 pre-flop and the blinds are probably small, so it's,
exactly.
Let's call it a $70 or $75 pot. Betting $30 into that, what message are you sending to your opponent?
A weakness message many, many times. If you're not betting the typical 60 to 80% of the pot out there on the flop, then you're sending a weakness message or a please call me message. You can do the reverse, of course. Every hand has two options on
it. It's not worth doing that to see where you stand?
I probably wouldn't have. I'd either made a bigger raise or checked it there. I would have gone ahead and bet the $50 or $60 out there, you know, 60, 70, 80% of the pot, and, you know, to declare the guy that I do have a hand and see what he does. He comes over the top. You pretty much know that, you know, the only thing you beat then is a bluff or jacks.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to gamble all your chips that he has the jacks, go for it. But
What about the alternative where he checks it on that flop? Again, a $75 pot, he checks it. The other guy's got only about $120 left.
Yeah.
He may be the kind of guy who's going to shove it all in there. Even if he doesn't, he's going to be pot committed with whatever he does. At that point, you look down at your queens, even though it's a rags board, do you then say to yourself, well, he must have aces or kings, and I got to lay this down?
Actually, that'd be a decent indication that it would be on that. Again, he's got $120. If you're making a $60 bet out there, he's committed to the pot one way or the other on it. He never said what he had in his chip stack, correct?
Right.
So I have no idea if he had $100, he had $300, he had whatever on it in front of him. So I'm a little bit of a question there on trying to answer this. It's difficult to sit down at a table before you've gone around a couple of times and get in a monster hand. I try to avoid those like the plague, whether I'm playing in a tournament or playing in a cash game. Till I get to know the table, till I get a feel with it, till I start to getting the reads on these people, I don't want to play a major hand.
Especially with one pair.
Yeah.
This is one of the things that I find is very, very common. People ending up putting their entire stack in there with one pair, and it's not aces.
Yeah.
But even if it is aces, far too often when you're up against two, three, or four players, aces aren't any good. With that, when that flop comes, you could end up being up against somebody who's flopped two pair or flopped a set, and you just have no idea where you are.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I just, till you get to know the table and everything, till you get a good feel for the table, it's very difficult to play, I think. Then you're playing just strict probabilities, and you have a re-raise on pre-flop, which indicates a strong hand. I don't know. I would hope that I could get away from that hand on it. It would depend on how it played out in the table. But being trapped there isn't horrible. It doesn't mean you play bad when you went in with your queens.
Part of poker is you're going to lose sometimes.
Absolutely.
You're not going to win every one, and you're not always going to make the right decision. The key is to make more right decisions than wrong decisions.
There are times when the flop just kills you. You flop top two, and the other guy has a set. You know, things like that are going to happen. So
one of the things that I learned from you also is you may think you have the best hand, but you're not 100% sure. And you look at a guy who's acting very confident, and the more you look at him, the more you're convinced that you're beat. There's nothing wrong with laying those cards down and coming back to play another day.
I would rather lay down three or four winners than lose my entire stack. I really would.
Now, along those lines, we get a lot of email. Again, the email address, if you have questions or hand histories you'd like us to talk about on the show, you can email it to DennisPhillipsPoker@gmail.com. And I'll just summarize what a lot of these people are asking in general, which is, I got a bad beat, or I had a bad session, or I was running really badly at the table, and I didn't know what to do. And I sat there, and I continued to lose, or I won a little bit back. I don't know what to do when I'm in that mental frame of mind, and things just aren't going my way. Dennis, what do you do?
I'll tell you exactly what I do. I get up and take a walk. That's the time when you go over and grab a cup of coffee and read the newspaper. That's when you take a break to go to lunch. That's when you go over and talk to some friend over at another table, answer a phone that's been ringing off the hook, I don't know what. But if you're feeling a little uncomfortable for whatever reason, you're probably not going to be at 100% at the table, and that's when people prey on you. Get up, walk around, get your head back on straight, the whole bit. If you can't, there's always another day. It's amazing, but there's a tournament or a cash game going on every day of the week.
Yes, there is.
And you can always come back and play.
Absolutely, because it's important to look at it as a series of sessions,
absolutely,
not the only time you're going to play poker in your entire life.
Yeah.
You want to win in the long term, not, I mean, it's nice to win in the short term, too, but it's better to have the wins accumulating over the long term, right off the short-term losses and get up and walk around. I can't tell you how many times I've been in a game, taken a beat, and said to myself, you know what, I'm just going to go for a walk. I'm not going to talk to anybody. I'm just going to walk around this casino.
Whatever it takes for you.
Walk around and look at the slot players, look at the blackjack players, look at whatever it takes to get to wherever I need to go and go there.
You know, I mean, if you need to walk over and play the slots or play the blackjack for a few minutes, you need to go grab a sandwich. Just something to get your head on straight, to think about things, come back, be calm, cool, collect, and to play your A game. You're playing a B game or a C game at these tables, they'll kill you.
They will.
They absolutely will.
And the good players know, and they pounce on you.
Oh, if they think you're on tilt, then you're really in trouble.
Yeah.
Because they will come after you.
Absolutely.
No,
right.
No offense, but I will come after you.
No offense, but give me your money.
Yeah.
The Dennis Phillips slogan of the night. All right, when we come back, we'll talk with poker pro Victor Ramden. And by the way, again, if you've got questions, hand histories or other questions, email them to DennisPhillipsPoker@gmail.com. And also check the website, TheChipLeader.com. This is the Lumiere Place Final Table on 590 The Fan KFNS and KFNS.com. And it's brought to you by Poker Stars.
PokerStars. It's the site that I play on, guys. If you want to come on there and play me sometime, come on in. It's a site that has every kind of a game and every kind of a level, and it's playing 24 hours a day. It's a heck of a lot of fun, guys, just to put it simply on that. It's the premier software they have there. It's new and exciting features on it at all times. They're always upgrading it. Anything you want. If you want to play Omaha, if you want to play Pot Limit, if you want to play Limit, if you want to play No Limit, whatever it is, come on there. And that's where we had our free roll. That's where we're going to have the next one. Join up, guys, and have some fun.
That's PokerStars.net. And, of course, Dennis Phillips is a proud member of Team PokerStars Pro, as is our next guest, Victor Ramden, who was born in Guyana and currently lives in the Bronx. And for a guy who's only been playing poker for a few years, certainly has made a name for himself in the poker world. Came in 64th at the WSOP main event last summer. He cashed four times in the World Series of Poker, including one final table in the $1,500 horse event. His total live tournament winnings exceed $2.5 million. And a lot of that money goes back to his native Guyana because he's very philanthropic and turns a lot of money back into great charitable efforts. Victor, we're happy to have you here at the Lumiere Place Final Table. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me on today. I really do appreciate that. Dennis, how are you doing? And how is everyone and all the fans doing today?
Oh, everything's going great here, Victor. I really appreciate you coming on. We've kind of become friends here over the last few months at the different tournaments we've been at. We've sat down at the same table a few times. And you told me the story about with your homeland and what good you're doing there. And I have a tremendous amount of respect to you for that. So I assume
well,
you're going to be doing it again this year?
Yes, we were right on schedule this year. We live in the 25th of July to the 3rd of August. We do it when the World Series is over. So most people need a break from the long haul, 2 months of playing poker. A lot of the poker players that would normally join me would definitely want to break away from all the action, and this is what they do every year. Yes, we are leaving this year on the 25th of July.
Oh, and some of the players that you've had go with you, at least like a who's in poker, too. That just shows the respect they have for you. Wasn't Phil Ivey over there?
Well, this year I just got the good news that Phil Ivey is going to be joining me this year back to Guyana. We had over the years Barry Greenstein, Howard Lederer. We have Michael Binger this year. We have a few other pros that is going to be joining me. It's always a pleasure to see different people from different backgrounds join me in my philanthropic work here. And not just their time that they do give their money sometimes. So we really do appreciate that.
And all the work that you're doing in Guyana is to help out with medical tragedies, right?
Pretty much. Let me just sum it up for you in a nutshell. Every year, we've been around for the past 17 years, of which I'm a member for about approximately 12 years. The reason why I really choose Guyana to do this stuff, obviously, is the country of my birth. But something was very, very disturbing to me when I've learned about 12 years ago that we did not have any heart surgeries available for poor kids in our country. So pretty much if you were born a poor child in a poor home, and you have a heart defect, simple heart defect, you will simply die because there's no surgeries for you. And I thought, I want to do something that really can impact someone's life. And that is what we have been doing. We have done, since we started, approximately 60 open heart surgeries over the 17 years. And you know what? We do make a difference because these are innocent kids. They can grow up to become presidents one day, maybe become an Einstein one day, become somebody to make a difference in somebody else's life. So that is our ultimate goal, to find kids in our country every year that we go that is in need of life-saving heart surgery.
Well, that's a terrific cause, and we know that you are giving a lot there because you're donating a huge portion of your poker earnings to that cause. If I could, I'd like to go back to the beginning of your poker career, which is only about 7 years ago. As I understand it, you saw people playing it in a bar. You'd never played poker before, and you saw them doing it, and you said, ooh, this looks like fun. Is that true?
That's absolutely what it was. And you know what? It also did save my life because I used to drink a whole lot. I'm not saying drinking is bad or good for you, but I really used to abuse alcohol. I used to drink a whole lot of alcohol, and I wanted to change my life a little bit. And like I said, I'm not saying it's bad or good for you. I like to drink leisurely. I have my glass of wine and stuff, but I was really, really bad. I used to drink so much that I would Saturday night. And once I start playing this crazy game they call poker, it's something that you'll be hooked for life. I mean, it's an unbelievable game. I start playing like a three-card game with a little wild card. And the next thing you know, I start playing poker. And the next thing you know, I start in the casinos. And what I can advise your listeners out there, please be free to play satellites as much as you can. It doesn't matter how much money you have, whether you can afford or you can't afford. Playing the small satellites is the best possible deal for you out there. And that's what I do. Every tournament I go, people say, oh, Victor's broke. He's playing a $100 sit-and-go or a $200 satellite. I really don't care what they say. It's, at the end of the day, it's what makes sense, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with him completely because I'll probably be sitting down there at the table right across from him playing one of the satellites.
Yeah, Dennis really can't complain about satellites since that's how he won his way into the WSOP main event last year.
This is true.
And that's how I got to my first main event in 2003. I won back satellites, and guess what? 5 days later, I came in 29th that year. So, yeah, satellites that really got me going, too.
Tell me about your relationship with Phil Ivey. Was he really your mentor early on, and how did that happen?
Well, here's what happened, right? I finally convinced him that, you know, Phil, we need to do something other than playing poker, you know? We need to go give our time back to poor people, people that was not as fortunate as we were when we were born. You know, some people are born with the gold spoon in their mouth, and some are not. And he said, Victor, you know what? You always keep bugging me every year. You know what? I'll go with you. So while on my trip there, we work approximately 16 to 18 hours a day, long days. So we see each other a whole lot. We work on the floor together. Floor meaning we have like about 600 people to see for the day, and we have to coordinate the floor, the traffic, people coming in and out. So I would talk to him about hundreds of hands in a day, as much as I get a chance. I was relentless on him, and guess what? Over the period of 8 days, I mean, some dinners, over whatever opportunity I've gotten to speak with Phil, and he also had given me his number when I got back here to the U.S., Victor called me, anything that, you know, a situation, whatever, and I was not shy. I took full advantage of it, and believe me, from just the mere thought of being told something by someone that you can play poker, Victor, it really just took my game to another level. I mean, this guy is unbelievable talent. I mean, unbelievable ability to read and some situation that he had taught me. It's unbelievable that I put them all to work and they did work for me.
And have you had other players now start doing the same to you, younger players who are just starting out in the last couple of years who now turn to you and say, teach me some of the stuff that Phil Ivey taught you?
Well, you know what? I play a lot of sit-and-go on PokerStars every weekend. I have like one day I play a lot of low-stakes sit-and-goes. Because, you know, not everyone can afford to play in a $100 sit-and-go or a $50. Now, on PokerStars, you have all limits. You have from $1, $2, $3, $5, whatever your pocket suits, they have sit-and-goes available. And a lot of fans that I have, really faithful fans on the net that speak to me all the time, I would, after a while, give them my email or something and teach them. And I would give them a little nitbits here and there, and that does help. I mean, that helped a whole lot. Believe me, sometimes it's just a few adjustments you need sometimes to make you a better player.
Oh, and this is a game you're continually learning, that's for sure. I hope my game is better now than it was 6 months ago, and, you know, on and on and on, as they say. On that, I ran into Victor when I went out to Walter Reed. Victor also joined us out there with the PPA to tour the hospital and that.
Mm-hmm.
That was just an amazing experience. And, again, there were just about five of the poker, six of us poker players that were out there, and Victor was one of them. And it was just an amazing thing, and it's kind of, again, speaks to the kind of person that Victor is, to donate his time and energy to go out there to visit the troops that are coming back.
How was that experience for you, Victor?
Oh, my God, it was so touching, man. I mean, we had guys that lost their limbs and their arms, and they were ready and gearing to go back. You know, I mean, this is something. If we think we are doing a lot of work playing poker, I mean, we are doing crap. I mean, these are the guys who are laying their life on the line for us to protect our great country we have. And, man, I tip my hat to those guys. And if they ask me to go back there another 10 times, I will. Absolutely will. It was a really, for me, very touching, you know, situation. First time there, I never expected to see what I've seen there. these brave young fellas, you know, fighting for us, to protect us, to keep us away from harm's way. And it's really, really an honor to go play that tournament there with those guys there.
It really brings your feet back down the ground. If you get a swelled head, just go talk to those guys. They'll humble you really, really quick. That's for sure.
Yeah.
What are your – are you going to be playing any of the LAPTs, the Argentina or Uruguay one? Or?
Thank you for just reminding me on my long flight out to Uruguay. I'm leaving here on Friday. I actually played in the I played in the LAPT Mexico, and I made it to the finals.
Oh,
so
excellent.
I'm on the final table in the LAPT Mexico, and we are playing it in Uruguay, and after that is over with, I'll be playing in the Uruguay Championship. So, yes, I am looking forward to that.
That explains why you're going out earlier. Yeah, I'm going out there, but I'm not leaving until the middle of next week. So, what about the WSOP 09? Have you looked at the schedule and figured out what you're going to play out there?
You know what? I've been knocking on the door every year in the world at WSOP. It's my dream, and it would be an honor one day to win one of these bracelets. But guess what? This year, I pretty much limit my schedule just to focus a whole lot on the World Series this year. I want to play a lot more events. Okay. I think that I'm not playing enough. I played about 10, 12 a year, and I want to do 20 to 30 this year.
Holy cow.
I'm going to put a lot more effort into this year here in the World Series of Poker. I'm trying to win a bracelet, and I'm going to work so hard on it. So I may look past a lot of the other events because it's not possible for me to be at so many places at the same time.
Well, I don't see how you're going to have time to do 20 or 30 events when you're trying to satellite into every one of them, Victor.
Well, I try to satellite into the 10Ks especially. I mean, the 5Ks or the 10Ks. I would not satellite into a 2,000 or 1,500 because I can take the same amount of time and try to get into a bigger event.
Right, yeah. Right.
Well, and last year you ended up placing and cashing in five of the events, and you said you only played like 12 or 15. If you're going to go that deep, you might have a problem playing 30 of them because you're going to be playing day two and day three on some of these others.
So, well, guess what happened to me? This is what happened to me last year. I'm a person, I go with the feeling the way I feel, okay? Mm-hmm. I went to the World Series last year very early. I played six events, and I went 0 for 6. And I just took my bags, and I said, I'm out of here. And I went away, and I didn't play another event until the last 2 weeks of the World Series was over because I was frustrated. And I came back, and in the last six events I played, I cashed in five of them. So sometimes I go with my feel. I go with my feel. If I feel I'm not there, I'm not into it, I'm just not going to play. I want to break. I want to be away from here. So if I'm really into playing, you know, for this I'm really more like a touch-and-go player. Feel. It depends how I feel at that time.
That's actually something we just talked about a few minutes ago. When somebody gets on a little tilt or gets on a bad run at a table, what should they do? And my recommendation was similar to what you're saying. Get up, take a walk, go grab something to eat, get your head on straight.
Take 2 weeks off.
If that's what it takes, absolutely. It's a very good advice.
You better believe that. That's what you do. Also, for your fans, I would just like to touch on one thing just before I get off the show. Please, all the guys that are in colleges who are poker players like myself, please get through that college, get your degree. I don't care how much you see a young guy want a bracelet. Please just finish up your college. Once your college education is over with and you have that degree in your hand, brother, you can do what the hell you want. But please, 80% college, 20% poker, and once your college is over, you can go 100% if you want to.
Victor, before we let you go, I got to ask you a strategy question because as I've observed you, I've never played against you as Dennis has, but I've observed you in some of the TV shows that you've appeared on, the poker TV shows through the years, and you seem to be the kind of player who scares the rest of the table a little bit because it seems to me that your reputation is this guy could be playing any two cards at any time and has absolutely no compunction about putting his chips in the middle to try to power people off of the table. Is that a conscious decision on your part to play that way? And when you sit down at the table and there's another player who's using that same kind of hyper-aggressive strategy, how do you defend against that when that's your strategy?
Well, here's the way I can sum that up for you, right? If you put me in a ring with a sumo wrestler and you put me in a ring with a jockey, who do you think I want to fight? Right?
I love it.
I'm going to go after the jockey, brother. Listen, I got nothing to prove. I really don't want to punch it out with that sumo. He's going to whip my ass. That's what I pretty much do. I've learned over the years, playing poker is simply to pick your fights accordingly. Listen, Dennis is going to tell you the same thing. I don't know if Dennis is in the same way. I think there are certain players at your table. It doesn't matter what the hell you do. They're going to whip your ass. What do you think I do against players like those? I'm just going to wait for position on that player, one, and I'm going to play with an extremely good hand against that player. Now, if that player is playing back at me every time, I got no damn reason to be fighting him because, you know what, there's eight other players on the table. So yep. Sometimes you will find me playing at a table, playing against three, four players almost every hand because guess what, I think I got their number or I think I can outplay them. And then there will be one player at that table. I want no part of him because, you know what, I just have a feeling he's going to outplay me. And that's the way with poker. I mean, you just have to understand your player, and that's what I do. I play my players. I play the guy that I think I can beat. I keep away from the guy who I think is going to beat me up.
And that's exactly the way I do in a cash game, too. I sat at the Bellagio one time, and Paul Wasico was right across from me. I'm not for sure we ever got involved in a hand, but we played everybody else at the table.
Well, that's the way it should be. Whenever you sit down in anything, whether it's cash or tournament, take some time to look around the table and figure out who the people are who know what they're doing or figure out what their styles are and then assess what your role is at that table. Hope that you're not the fish that all these sharks are going to eat alive and try to figure out who the ones are who you can eat at the table. And that's the style right there, isn't it?
Exactly. Back exactly what we said earlier in the thing about sitting down and trying not to get involved in a major hand in those first few hands you're playing. Get to know your players. Get to get your tails on them. Get to see what kind of a player they are. You know, you don't want to commit all your chips third hand into a tournament. I mean, my gosh.
That's really, really bad. And the other thing also, what is very important as far as cash game play, you know, sometimes I go to the casino. The guy see me playing a 5-10 no limit or a 3-6 no limit or a 2-5 no limit and say, Victor, you're broke, right? You don't have money. What happened? You lost all your money. I say, yes, I did because I'm not going to go to that 25-50 game over there because I got no shot in beating those guys. It's like giving them I might as well just pay them the money ahead. You know, so you can't have an ego in poker. If you have an ego, you have a serious problem. Some players, they just jump, but you have to understand you have to manage your bankroll properly. You have to play according to who you think you can beat. And if you're in a top game, leave.
Yep, I agree 100%.
Victor, we really appreciate your time today, and hopefully we'll run into each other at the main event later on this summer.
Thank you so much, and you guys have a great evening. Thank you.
And I'll see you down in Uruguay. I got a long flight, too.
Yes, brother. Take care.
All right,
great journey.
Care.
Victor Ramden, another member of Team PokerStars Pro. You can find out about him by going to PokerStars.net and looking at all the players who are on Team PokerStars Pro, or look at Victor's own website, which is victor-ramden.com. And one of the things we like about him so much is all of that philanthropic work. Anybody who's turning as much money as he is back to charitable causes like that deserves all the praise we can afford him. So thanks to Victor Ramden for joining us here at the Lumiere Place Final Table on 5-9 of the Fan, KFNS, and KFNS.com. The poker coach, Joe McGowan, is coming up. This portion of the show brought to you by Bridell Remodeling, Ron Bridell's company that serves the Metro East. For people like you who are thinking about fixing up their home, rather than buying a new home in this depressed economy, why not fix up the home you live in right now? Put that new bathroom in. Put in that room addition. Fix up that basement you've been thinking about for so long. In fact, I was reading a story in the past week, Dennis, about more and more people taking in boarders into their home. Mm-hmm. They've got an extra room. Maybe the kids have moved out of the house and they decide, you know, maybe we can rent out part of the house and get a few extra dollars coming in that way. If you've got an unfinished basement, Ron can turn it in to a basement that somebody will want to live in and pay you to live in. Or maybe you just need new kitchen cabinets or countertops or a whole new design for your kitchen. Bridell Remodeling is the company to call. To find out what they're about, go to the website athomewithron.com. That's athomewithron.com for Bridell Remodeling, your full-service remodel company. And we're back after this with the Lumiere Place Final Table.
It's poker on your radio. This is the Lumiere Place Final Table on 590 The Fan KFNS. Now, here are two guys giving off reverse tells and trying to take your stack. Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris.
And speaking of Lumiere, if you go to Dennis's website, thechipleader.com, you can click on the Lumiere ad and get a room at Hotel Lumiere right next to the casino for just $109 a night. That's available through the website, thechipleader.com. This portion of our show is brought to you by the Poker Players Alliance, a nonprofit organization whose members include people who play poker online and offline, people who are into poker from all across the United States who have joined together to speak with one voice to promote the game and protect the right to play poker in all its forms. The PPA is doing its best to get the UIGEA reversed. That's the law that was passed about a year and a half ago by Congress in the middle of the night without most of the members of Congress even bothering to read it or know that it was in the legislation that affects online poker all across the United States. What the PPA's mission is to establish favorable laws that give poker players a secure, safe, and regulated place to play. So they're trying to increase awareness and educate people about poker as a game of skill. This is the game that presidents of the United States have played and presidential wannabes have played for two centuries in this country. We don't need the government intervention. We don't need the misguided laws. We need you to be a member of the PPA, the Poker Players Alliance. For details, go to the website, ppa.org. We are proud to have them as a sponsor of the Lumiere Place Final Table. Time now to bring in the poker coach and double daddy.
There you go.
Joe McGowan. Hi, Joe.
So have you got any sleep yet, Joe?
I'm a little tired, but not as tired as my wife. Poor girl is up the whole night feeding and doing the deal. But thankfully, happy, healthy mama and happy, healthy little boy.
That's perfect.
Trace Jackson McGowan is, 24 hours old just about now, right?
That's right. Pretty much coming almost 24 hours old right now.
So you got his first day celebration planned?
No, not yet.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. It's awesome. It's incredible. Everything everybody says it is.
Congratulations again. I'm curious, as an older brother myself, what Trace's older brother's reaction was to having a little brother all of a sudden.
Well, he came in today. His big brother's Aiden. He just turned two. And anytime he got an arm's length of a newborn, he'd crack him in the head or try to eye gouge him or something. That happened about three times, and as quick as I could jerk him away.
They start out early.
The sibling rivalry starts on day one.
10 feet long.
I grew up with two older brothers. I already sympathize with the newborn.
Yeah, I've been apologizing to my younger brother for about 30 years.
It started early with these two.
Sweet.
Well, Joe, we're happy that you could make time to be on with us tonight and talk about some of the poker tips that you've passed along to Dennis and some other players during the years, and particularly last fall when you came here to St. Louis to Lumiere, where we did some sit-and-go tournaments to help Dennis get prepped for the final table as one of the November 9. One of the things that you looked for that night and helped Dennis learn about was tells in other players. Can you talk a little bit about the different kinds of tells you look for?
Yeah, sure, Paul. I keep a poker journal, and I also keep my iPhone. There's a section there that's really cool. It has notes, and you can put in all the different categories and different types of notes. And when I'm playing live, I'll put stuff in the phone, and then when I come home, I'll try to transfer it into this kind of dedicated journal. So I have all these different...
We lost Joe.
I think we just lost Joe. Maybe the baby touched the phone. I don't know. Aiden got a little jealous already or something.
Jason, can you call him back and try him again and see if you can get him back on the line? Okay. Try to hook up with him.
While we're waiting, a couple of things we forgot to mention. A guest we had on here a couple of weeks ago, Vanessa Russo.
Oh, yes, the lovely and talented Vanessa Russo,
fresh from
the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue when we spoke to her.
And is now going to be doing a little more illustrating. She's now signed with GoDaddy as a spokeswoman.
Is that right?
That is exactly right.
So, like Danica Patrick and Candace Michelle, who was the original GoDaddy model?
You may see all three of them in the same ad now. Who knows?
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So congratulations to Vanessa. I saw her out there in California after we had a little interview with her. Very, very intelligent woman.
Yes. Oh, and we loved having her on the show, and we hope to do that again sometime. Yep. So. While we're trying to reconnect with Joe, we've got a caller. Is it Kurt or Kirk? Okay. Kurt, you're on the Lumiere Place Final Table. Hi.
Hi, pleasure to talk to you, gentlemen. I was just
at
a fundraiser Saturday night and ended up being a bubble boy out of 70. I got. Can I run a couple hands by you real quick?
We can probably do one.
Okay. All right. Middle position, it's folded around to me. I got a couple big stacks to go through. I'm probably about the low man at the table. Blinds are going up the next hand. I don't know exactly to what or what I had at the time as far as money, but I know I was low at the table. Pocket aces, a couple big stacks to go through. Don't want anybody to catch up, so push.
Again, I'll qualify this. Normally, yes, but it depends on your table. If you're low man, you've got to get some chips on these aces. If it's an aggressive table where you know one of the big guys behind you is probably going to be pushing, you can come in and just limp in. But somewhere or other, you got to get chips on the table. If it's a table you know they're going to call you and you're short enough on chips, push it and go. I'd say 9 times out of 10 right there I would push, yes.
But isn't part of the problem there that you might, with your aces, just pick up the blinds and antes? And
that's what I'm saying. You have to figure out a way to get more money in the table.
Well, the way I had the players in the stacks pegged, I was at least going to get one of them to call.
Well, then I'm pushing, absolutely.
And what happened
Very
in
well.
The hand?
I'm sorry? Did
what happened in the hand?
Yeah, I got one caller, and I doubled up.
See?
There you go.
My gosh, sometimes I'm right. It's amazing. 1 out of 100, I get it right.
Kurt, thanks for calling.
I certainly didn't want anybody catching up, so I didn't want to do any limping there.
That's the way to do it, Kurt. Yeah. We appreciate it. Thanks very much. And by the way, we're going to do a show coming up soon where we take a lot of phone calls and get to a lot of emails,
yep,
and do a lot more of those on an upcoming edition of the Lumiere Plays Final Table. But now back to the poker coach, Joe McGowan. Are you there, Joe?
Yeah, I'm here, Paul. Lost you there for a second.
That's okay. You were talking about keeping a poker journal and keeping an eye on the other players and starting to talk about the different kinds of tells you spot.
Right. Well, I have an iPhone, which I put in when I'm there at the table. I make it like I'm texting somebody, but I'll put a lot of information in there when I pick up stuff on some of the regular players I play with. And then when I see things that just over time, it's like, kind of that aha moment where over time you see it over and over and over again, and it clicks. Like, wow, every time I've seen that for the past bunch of years, the player's always been strong or always weak or always on the bluff. And then I'll come home and transfer it into my home journal, which I have about 7 different categories that I put these tells into. And the categories that I have, and some of them blend together a little bit, and I might even be missing one or two, but there's conscious tells, unconscious tells, reverse tells. There's unique tells, there's general tells, confirmed tells, which is one of my favorites, and probably one of the most popular might be betting pattern tells. So, I think I could go into starting out with the conscious tells, which is the first one. These are things that people do, they know that they're doing it. For instance, say you sit down at a table and you're playing for a while and you're playing in a regular game and it's heads up. And it's you and somebody you've been playing with for a year or two, and you kind of know them in your regular game. And they say to you, oh, it's just me and you. I'll check it to you. Right there, I hear that over and over and over again, whether I'm in the pot or I'm not in the pot. When somebody says that, and again, tells are not, seeing their cards and knowing exactly what they have. It's not foolproof. And then we can get into the reverse tells. But in general, when somebody says that, they're typically weak. They're trying to make it like they're buddies with you, even though they're trying to take your money and you're playing for money, and they want to see a free card. So typically, 9 times out of 10, I will almost definitely fire at that pot with any 2 cards to try to take that pot from them because they don't want me to bet. They're trying to make it like they're my friend, and of course they're not. We're playing poker, and there's no friends on the poker table.
I see similar to that, and a lot of times they're on a draw, a flush, a straight, whatever the heck it is.
Right.
Or 2 over cards, they've missed the flop and they want to see another card.
They're trying to get a free card out of it.
Absolutely.
Right. And it's funny how often you'll hear it pretty close to that. Just me and you? Well, I'll check it to you. They'll even look at you or kind of pat the table like they're being friendly.
Yeah.
But that's a great spot to pick up some chips. And then, they may call you if they had the draw, and then you have to do a little more and take in more information. One more might be you'll say to a player, your head's up, you'll say, how many chips do you have left? And let's say the person has exactly 1,000, but they're kind of spread out in different stacks, okay? And if the person answers, well, I have about 1,150, that's a sign of weakness in general. If the person says, well, I only have about 850, but they really have 1,000, that's typically a sign of strength. So that would be another conscious tell. They know what they're doing. They know they have 1,000 chips. But they're trying to lead you down a certain road to disguise their hand. But they know that they're doing it. They're conscious and they're aware that they're telling a little bit of a poker lie to try to induce you to bluff all in or try to induce you to fold, whichever way they say.
I like that one a lot. All right, next week we'll have Joe back, and he'll tell you more tells that you should watch for. We may even have time to get into some reverse tells. We'll certainly be doing more of these over the course of the coming weeks. Joe, go run back to your new baby. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks so much, so much to both of you guys. See you, Dennis.
Yeah, congratulations again, Joe.
Thank you.
And say hi to Angelina for us. Joe McGowan, the poker coach here at the Lumiere Place Final Table on 5-9 of the Fan KFNS and KFNS.com.
590 The Fan, St. Louis's sports talk radio for over a decade and counting.
Ozzie Smith speaking.
Ozzie, Jack O'Connell with Baseball Writers in New York. I'm very happy to tell you you've been elected to the Hall of Fame.
KFNS was there. The staple of sports talk radio in St. Louis. 590 The Fan, KFNS, St. Louis's sports leader.
Closet cleaning is a worthwhile venture, clearing up usable space and resulting in items for charitable donation, like that keyboard tie. It's a win-win, but it takes a lot of energy. You should clean your closet next week and fuel up this week. For instance, carb up on the delicious pasta dishes at the House of Savoy, or meet your daily recommended dose of random cravings at the Kitchen Buffet and Bistro. To recap, eat now, clean your closet later. Now is the time for whatever turns you on at Lumiere Place. Visit LumierePlace.com for more info. Must be 21 to enter casino. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-BETS-OFF.
This is the Lumiere Place Final Table with Paul Harris and St. Louis's own poker millionaire, Dennis Phillips, on 590 The Fan KFNS.
And this portion of the show brought to you by Broadway Truck Centers, the employers of Dennis Phillips.
Yes. The question I get asked all the time, online, in a poker room, wherever, is, are you still working for the trucking company?
You're such a slacker.
Folks,
you're not working. You're not selling trucks.
I am doing everything I can to help them, which may only entail a day or two a week.
With all your traveling?
Yeah, exactly.
But you've told me that quite often your clients are calling you over the phone to tell you what kind of truck they want.
They do. I do a lot of it on my computer. I do a lot of it over the phone. I've got guys back there that know my, not betting patterns, but the buying patterns of the people that work with me and can handle it that way. So, yes, absolutely.
And one of the things that Broadway Trucks is also known for is its service department.
Absolutely. We have the longest service hours of anybody in town. These guys are out there working early in the morning and late at night. We're working 6 days a week over there in the service department. And we have the new body department that's taking care of it. We have the rental department to handle things. Basically, whatever you need, it's down there, can be taken care of.
All right, Broadway Trucks, one of the sponsors of the Lumiere Place Final Table. Get more information at BroadwayTruck.com. Now, last Wednesday, we did a little free roll online on PokerStars.
Yes, we did.
And we had 596 players. Dennis finished in 29th place. I finished in 36th place.
I finished in 28th.
Oh, excuse me. More importantly, here's the guy who finished first. This guy is money, literally. We're not making it up. His name is Steve Money. Welcome to the Lumiere Place Final Table.
Great. It's good to be here.
How you doing, Steve? Hey,
I'm doing pretty good.
Thanks for kicking our butts on the thing, too, okay?
I played at a table with you for a little bit and just sat back and just watched and took some money.
Did you take a couple of hands off of Dennis?
I was in one hand, and when after the flop came out, I looked at my cards. I'm like, I don't want any piece of this.
Uh-huh. As I understand it, this was your first time playing in an online tournament.
That's correct.
Where have you played poker before?
After listening to your story with Victor Ramden, it's funny because I myself draw a parallel to that, because there was one evening I was waiting to sing karaoke, and there was a bunch of guys playing Texas Hold'em in a back room.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, well, that looks kind of fun and easy. So the next week I came back and sat down with them and actually played with them, got to learn a little bit more about the game, and then that was about 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know he's more talented than me already if he can sing karaoke.
Yeah, neither of us should ever be heard singing karaoke.
There's not a chance in the world. We're not doing that.
Well, congratulations to you, Steve. You've turned your backroom poker find into $1,000 in an online tournament. Is that the most you've ever won in a tournament, or have you played in others?
I've played in other cash tournaments at different casinos in the St. Louis area, but actually this is the most from a tournament that I've ever won.
Well, congratulations. Okay.
Well, and you're joining us tonight. People from the final table are going to go over to Sleek here at Lumiere. We're going to have a nice meal, sit around, relax, exaggerate our hands like usual, right?
But, you know. Tell a few bad beat stories.
That would never happen with poker players, right?
You know, people didn't believe that Chris Moneymaker's name was really Chris Moneymaker. Mm-hmm. I believe this guy's name really is Money.
WSOP this year.
There you go. There you
here
go. Final table player,
here
Steve Money.
Well, I'm looking for a sponsor.
Okay, we might be ending it here quickly.
This portion of the show is brought to you by PokerStars.net. That's where we did our free roll last Wednesday,
yes.
And that's where we will be doing another free roll coming up soon, and that's where you can play against Dennis Phillips online.
Yeah. Thanks again, Steve, for coming. I really appreciate it. We'll go grab something to eat here in a minute.
And thanks to you and Paul for putting on the free roll.
It's our pleasure. This is the Lumiere Place Final Table.